You're listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 13, talking prospects on the rise, reviewing the Hockey News Future Watch magazine, and talking NCAA signings and free agents. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 13 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I am with my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, our DPFHL playoffs have begun. How is your round one matchup going?
Well, I'm playing the Pittsburgh team, which is managed by our associate editor, Mark Allen. And I played him in the final week of the season, and I'm not sure exactly what the score was, but I kind of crushed him a little bit. But yeah, this week is a different story. It's we're recording Thursday night, and we're tied. So it's not early anymore. So I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah, I know. Last night I was down quite a bit, and now tonight I'm down even further, and I'm starting to get sweaty palms. I'm kind of worried about my team, but there's nothing we can do because you can't make changes once the playoffs come, so you're kind of stuck with it unless injuries happen, and then you can call guys around. But I don't have a good feeling about my team. I'm down 11-4 right now, and it's going to be a tight battle. I'm looking at all the categories to see what I can start cheering for, and that's basically what we're stuck on, is just cheering for your guys and hoping that they turn around. Are you doing well in any of your other leagues? Are you in playoffs or about to be into playoffs?
Yeah, I'm in a mirror league to the Dauber Prospects League with a bunch of other Dauber hockey guys. And Steve Laidlaw is in that pool. We were kind of mentioning a little bit in episode 12, and I took over a rebuild project there, and about 2 or 3 years in now, and I'm my second year in the playoffs, and I have a good team this year, so I'm doing all right there. Yeah, so it's an exciting time of year for fantasy hockey for sure. Yeah. And like Steve said last week, when you're in these head-to-head leagues, anything can happen in 1 week.
Like you said, you smoked your Pittsburgh rivalry last week, like 13-3, and you're back tied going into the last 3 days of the year, of the week. So you never know with the fantasy playoffs; anything can happen in a week.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into segment one: prospects on the rise. I'm going to start off right away. AJ Greer, left winger. I definitely think this guy's going to be a Colorado Avalanche next year. It's really going to help if the Avs do end up moving Landeskog or Duchesne or both. And he might play opposite wing of MacKinnon in the future. So down the line, I don't think it's going to happen next year. But he's already got his feet wet. He's got 5 games, 1 assist, so he knows what the NHL is kind of like. 5 games isn't a big deal, but I definitely think he's going to be a top 6 guy next year.
My number one is Los Angeles Kings defenseman Paul Ledoux. He's come out of the NCAA, where he played for North Dakota for 4 years. He was an alternate captain last year. He's only 7.3% owned on Fantrax, and he started this season off his first season as a pro, and he played huge minutes in the preseason for LA, and they were really impressed with him, and they had a very hard time making him one of their late cuts. But he was cut and sent to the AHL with the Ontario Reign, where he played 37 games and had 18 points. He's since been called up to the NHL. He's had a couple of games. I think he's played about 8 games so far. But he's a right shot defenseman, which is very coveted, and especially in Los Angeles. He's got good size at 6'1", 197. He's a good skater. I think he could finish the season in LA, and he could be a full-time NHLer, if not for the rest of this year, then the start of next year. He's got second pairing defenseman upside. Not a lot of bangers and mash value, no rotisserie points. I don't think you're going to get a lot of penalty minutes or hits, probably some blocks because he's defenseman, but some good in points-only leagues, in deep leagues. I think he's a really viable option, and he's basically free, so I'd scoop him up.
Awesome. Did you scoop him up in the DPFHL?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, man of his word. I like that. You're sticking to your guns. I saw you take him, and I saw you put him on this list, and I was like, oh, he's in love with Ledoux. I can see it now. I'm going to go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Blake Spears, my next pick. 7% owned in Fantrax, and it's kind of weird because a lot of the Fantrax ownerships for prospects, they're the really high guys like Puljujärvi and Dylan Strome are at 55 and 50%, but being at 7% is far too low for a decent prospect. And Blake Spears showed it in the World Juniors last year. 7 games, 3 points. That's not ridiculous numbers by any means, but still decent. He was a definite leader on the team. He has played 3 games at the beginning of the year. He made the Devils out of camp, but then they sent him back. He got injured in his first OHL game, broken wrist. He managed to recover in time for the World Juniors, and he's Sioux Greyhounds captain this year. Shows a ton of leadership. This guy is just oozing with leadership, which is a big deal when you're a young kid coming into a team that they want to see that. They want to see the leadership side, and they will start giving you minutes because they know how much of an impact you are off the ice and on the ice. So I think Blake Spears, he's also dual eligible center and right wing, which I'm just a huge fan of. I really like having guys that are dual eligible position wise, because you can just move them anywhere on your lineup and not be worried to get them into your lineup. So I think Blake Spears is going to be a real good hockey player. Probably next year he's going to be playing with the Devils.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen him play in the OHL, and he can be dominant at times. He's a surefire NHLer, and I think his upside is pretty certain too. Number two on my list is a goalie. Now, this is a player that we did. He plays in the Ottawa Senators organization. He had an update, and it got a lot of attention on Twitter. Lots of retweets, lots of comments. So that kind of raised my radar and my eyebrow on him. Like I'd heard of him, but I didn't realize what a good season Marcus Hogberg is having in the SHL. He's in his third full season playing pro hockey in Sweden. And he's only 22 years old. He's ginormous. He's 6'5". He's a third-round pick from 2013. The Senators have had their injury woes this season. If you look at their depth chart, you've got Anderson, who's got 1 year left on his contract, and Andrew Hammond, who's also got 1 year left on his contract. Mike Condon's a UFA. Matt O'Connor and Dreger are RFAs, and the only player on that list that seems like a viable long-term option really to me is Craig Anderson, and he's not too young anymore, so the shelf life on him is pretty limited. So I think the door's wide open for the Senators to have a future franchise number one goalie, and I don't see anyone who can walk through the door besides Marcus Hogberg that's in the organization presently. I believe he's coming to North America next season. I would surmise that he'll play in the AHL and get starting minutes while he adapts to North America, and the Senators will ride Anderson if they're able, and come up with a Band-Aid backup in the NHL with Hogberg as the long-term projection as the future franchise goalie in Ottawa. And he's only 6.2% owned on Fantrax right now, so goalies are super valuable in fantasy hockey. There's one you can pick up for free with, I think, a pretty short wait time because he's already 22 years old.
Yeah, with goalies, a short wait time is usually 2 or 3 years, and it feels like forever when you pick these guys up off the free agency or draft guys, and you're like, man, I'm not even going to touch this guy for 2 or 3 years. But that's a short wait time on goalies. And yeah, I think the Senators are definitely going to ride out Anderson one more year, and then they're going to maybe look to Hogberg, or they might have a stopgap in between that. But I think Hogberg is going to be, yeah, the Senators' long-term goalie. Who's your third guy?
My number three is San Jose Sharks' Danny O'Regan. He's the AHL rookie leading scorer. He's leading San Jose Barracuda in scoring. He's 23 years old. He's a little undersized at 5'10", 176. But our Sharks scout, Zach Devine, and any other scouting report that I've looked at for this guy all say the same thing, that he's a really smart player. He's a good skater. He's two-way, plays good offensively and defensively. He's been consistent all season. These are all exactly the kind of things you want to see for a rookie pro player. And yes, he's already 23 years old, so he should have some of this stuff already in his repertoire, but to have him actually execute it over basically an entire season is pretty impressive. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got a cup of coffee in the NHL at some point down the stretch, especially if, I'm not sure where the Barracuda are in their standings, but if their season ends, you can expect him to be at least a black ace for the Sharks in the playoff run. And he's only 6-point-something% owned on Fantrax. And again, talking about short shelf life, this guy's going to be in the NHL next year. He's going to be in the rotation. Joe Thornton's contract expires. Whether or not he signs back with the Sharks remains to be seen. They'll make a spot for a guy that can have an impact on the game the way Danny O'Regan can. So he's my number three. Who's yours?
I'm going Cristobal Nieves from New York Rangers, 4% owned in Fantrax, a 2012 second-round pick, 59th overall. He finished his NCAA four-year career with 109 points in 144 games, so nothing crazy to shout about from the University of Michigan. He was very close to making the Rangers out of camp, but they decided his development in the AHL would help his long-term career. He was either going to get fourth-line minutes for the Rangers or get 18 to 20 minutes for the Hartford Wolfpack in the AHL. So they decided to send him to Hartford, and he's having a very good season. I think he's going to be a second or third line guy, but he's moving up the prospect rankings in the Rangers organization. So look out for Cristobal Nieves for the Rangers.
Is he a prospect you think that has multi-cat value?
Yeah, he's going to be a face-off machine. That's for sure. He's going to be that third line guy that just... He goes out for every single faceoff that they need one. He knows how to win the faceoffs there. So faceoffs big time. The other categories maybe, but definitely faceoffs. That's one I would really keen in on with Neves.
Yeah, maybe some hits. He's a little Charlie Hustle.
All right, when we come back, Peter, we're gonna break down the Future Watch Top 50 review. That just came out. I just got mine in the mail. You got yours probably a couple days ago in the mail. We're going to go over some guys that we think should be bumped up and some that should be bumped down fantasy-wise. All right, it's time to go over the Future Watch. The Hockey News puts out a magazine every year of the top prospects. They got a top 50, and then they also break down top 10 of each team. But they don't always think of the fantasy side of the thing, and that's why you're here. You want to know the fantasy side of all prospects. So, Peter, give us a breakdown of how you go about dissecting the top 50 and the top 10s.
Okay, so for fantasy hockey, if you're doing a draft and it involves prospects, the Future Watch magazine is a really good magazine. You should read it. It's got, like Paul said, the top 10 prospects for every team, and the top 50 is actually, it's a two-page spread, but they do a top 100, so the other 50 are just scattered out throughout the teams. But it's not an all-inclusive tool because, like Paul said, it doesn't take fantasy in mind as its primary focus for ranking. You're going to want to look at some other sources, particularly our site, Dauber Prospects, and Dauber Hockey. He has a rankings tab at the top of his homepage, and you can find the top forwards, defense, and goalie rankings for prospects there as well. There's some discrepancies on the list, where Dauber's list contains players who are over 21 and whom some are active in the NHL, and the Future Watch list here excludes both of those criteria. So you kind of have to sort your way through all the data, but that's what we're here to do right now. Paul and I have studied the list, and we're going to talk about a couple of players who we think might be ranked a little bit higher for fantasy hockey terms on the Future Watch list, and maybe some guys who are a little bit low. So, Paul, who's a player you had that you thought was a little bit high? Let's start there.
Too high? I'm going to go with Max Jones. I really do enjoy his game, but I think he plays that on-the-edge style game like a Matthew Tkachuk, but maybe not as high-scoring as Matthew Tkachuk. I don't think he should be at 28 on which is in the Future Watch. I would move him down to maybe like low 40s, and that might also be because he's in Anaheim, and Anaheim seems to have kind of a deep pool in prospects that maybe not on the forward side, but the defensive side. But I still think he should be moved down a little bit. Dauber has him 93rd on his rankings, so I think Max Jones is a guy that is a wee bit too high on the fantasy side.
Yeah, if you're in a bangers and mash league, then that would maybe move him up a little bit too. But even that, I agree with you. I think 28 is pretty optimistic. Another thing to keep in mind, I think, is all these rankings and lists, they're all subjective, and you're never going to find any lists that are absolute. So always take these lists with a grain of salt. And if you're doing a draft, compile as many of these lists as you can. Use your own pool's scoring system as well, and then pull from all of the sources you can find and make your own list. A player who I thought might have been a little bit high is Kasperi Kapanen with the Leafs. I watched him play a lot with the Marlies this season and last, and well, he's turned it around a lot this season. He's had a good year this year. Last year, I had all but written him off as a viable prospect, and I at the end of last season, I had concluded that he was not going to be able to make it into the NHL. He's kind of looking like he's proven me wrong a little bit, but the jury is still out on that, in my opinion. It's up for review if he's going to make it to the NHL or not. I don't think it's an absolute no anymore, but I just noticed that plays go to die with him quite a bit. If I owned him in a fantasy, they got to be looking to sell high right now. Who's another guy you had, Paul?
I think Rasmus Asplund. I was the Dauber Prospects Buffalo writer. I've now moved on to Vegas, just to let everybody know. But I took a lot of interest in Asplund when they drafted him last year. I just don't think he's as high as he should be. He's 39th in Future Watch. I wouldn't even put him in the top 50 of a fantasy prospect list. So the fact that he's in the top 50 of not fantasy, it must say something about his two-way game that isn't going to show up in fantasy. But Dauber has him 132 on his list, so he is way down there. He's only 12% owned, which is one of the lowest prospects we're going to talk about in this segment, probably. I just don't think Rasmus Asplund has a fantasy-relevant game. I don't see him being on a roster anytime soon.
Yeah, and another, speaking of the difference between fantasy and reality, Jacob Larson is ranked 23rd on this list. He's an Anaheim Ducks defensive prospect. And the scouting reports on him, a lot of them say he's a good skating two-way defenseman. I'm seeing more of a defensive defenseman. He hasn't put up a lot of points at any level of hockey in the last year. He played in the World Juniors of Sweden, and I watched him play there, and I didn't really see a lot of offensive upside from him there either. So he's not that aggressive physically, so don't count on a lot of hits and penalty minutes from for bangers in MASH leagues either. So he's going to be a great, valuable NHL defenseman. I don't have a lot of doubt about that. I just don't think that he's going to provide any value in fantasy hockey. So he's ranked 23rd on this list, and I thought, well, that's not necessarily an appropriate ranking, although I would choose Philippe Myers ahead of him in any format or NHL, Jake Bean as well. So there's a lot of other defensemen on the list that I thought I'd pick way before him, especially in fantasy hockey.
Yeah, and you can see it; they're right side by side in the Future Watch. 22 is Shea Theodore, 23 is Jacob Larson. Shea Theodore is a hot commodity in fantasy, and he's going to be a fantasy back-end guy that is going to run a power play in the near future. Jacob Larson, I don't see that. So the fact that you see them side by side, that's not the case when it comes to fantasy.
Yeah, and Brandon Montour, a third Anaheim Ducks prospect, is right in there with them as well. He's 30, and he could have the best fantasy upside out of the bunch. He's just not such a lock to graduate to the NHL, but he is lighting the lamp in the AHL on a regular basis for a second year in a row.
Yeah, I want to go to another defenseman. I'm kind of pulling at hairs here, and I know Peter doesn't 100% agree with this because you're a Shabbat guy, but Thomas Shabbat at 3 just seems a little high. He was in the dog pound last year with Ottawa. They told him to go back and figure out his maturity game and be a better defenseman and a man rather than just a young kid. So he had a great World Juniors, did nothing against that. He's having a great CHL campaign, but Thomas Shabbat at 3, I want him to be more like at a 10 or 15 in that area. I would, especially fantasy wise, I can't see a defenseman being that high. So also watch out for defensemen being high on these lists, because they don't look at fantasy wise. These defensemen have to be really, really good defensemen to crack the top 5 or top 10. So I just think all defensemen should kind of be bumped back just to 2 or 3 spots. Maybe look past them for the next forwards and then start picking them, but I just think Thomas Shabbat's a little high at 3.
Yeah, and in terms of positions, I didn't think that they gave a lot of love to goaltenders. There's only, I think, 2 goalies in the top 50, and that is Tyler Parsons at 34 and John Gillies at 49, 2 Calgary Flames prospects, coincidentally. I thought Ilya Sorokin, a New York Islanders prospect ranked at 61, was low, very low. And Thatcher Demko, a Vancouver Canucks prospect at 64, was also really low. Sorokin's—he's in the KHL, and he's putting up some egregious stats over there. He is his goals against average. I don't know off the top of my head. It's like 1 point something. And Thatcher Demko was dominant in college last year. He's a first year pro playing on a bad team in Utica, cutting his teeth in the AHL. But he's got future starting potential for the Vancouver Canucks, and he's arguably their second prospect. He's in their top three of prospects, anyways. So I think he'll be a future starting goalie for the Canucks. Those are two players that I thought were low, and just goalies in general low in fantasy hockey and leagues like the ones that I'm in that we were speaking about earlier. Goalies in head-to-head leagues can contribute so much to your win and loss status, and the elite goalies are so expensive. So to commit, $6, $7, or $8 million to a goalie, and all goalies go through cold streaks. It can be devastating. Carey Price was really cold in February. You're going to want to have a prospect goalie that doesn't take up a lot of money, who you can move up. Plug him in your roster when your bread and butter guy is injured or struggling. So I think the value of goalie prospects is significant, and that's not necessarily reflected on this list.
Yeah, I just want to point out that Ilya Samsonov was in the top 20. He's number 18 for Washington. He's going to be a very good goalie, but he might have to wait out quite a while with Braden Holtby, Philip Grubauer, depending on what they do with him. So Samsonov, you've got to watch out for that. He's number 18 on the future watch. Peter, who do you got as a guy that should be on this 50 list or should be in the top 50 that just isn't quite there? A guy that should be moved up quite a bit.
One player I thought should have been in the top 50 that was ranked 69th is the Bruins' Jakob Forbaska Karlsson, JFK. He really impressed me with Boston University on the Beanpot. I got to watch that on TV up here in Canada, and he made an impact on the game in any situation. He's strong on the puck. He's a in-your-face kind of player. He fights for loose pucks. He fights to get the puck back. Put up penalties, put up points. He's the kind of player I think in a fantasy league with any kind of stat categories, he'll fill any box you score stats for. So he's a player that I'm really interested in. He's got good size too at 6'1", 192. He's 20 years old. He might be another year or two away from the NHL, but he's my guy. Did you have one?
Jake Guentzel with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was ranked 75th in Future Watch. He wasn't even close to the top 50. He's ranked 9th in Dobber's top prospects. He's 41% owned. I think he should be way higher. If Puljujarvi's at like 55%, I think he's getting NHL time already, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I would put him closer into the top 30, ahead of like Max Jones, Michael McLeod, who we spoke of earlier. I definitely think Guentzel should be moved up, and it might help that he's playing with Crosby. He's getting a ton of Crosby minutes, so and that's probably not going to go anywhere. Crosby's not going anywhere. Guentzel's not going anywhere, and they don't have any other wingers other than Daniel Sprong to take that spot. So I think Guentzel's here to stay, and he's got that dual eligibility center and left wing in Fantrax. So that dual eligible, I really like that. So Guentzel definitely should be moved up.
That's an excellent player. Yeah, the two things you brought up there that I think are really relevant that you want to keep in mind when you're looking at lists like this and prospects is how much time you're gonna have to wait on him. And some of the guys I talked about, like Ilya Sorokin, who knows how long he's gonna be in Russia for. Samsonov, sorry, the goalie for Washington. Not only does he have to deal with Holtby, but he's got a long-term contract in the KHL, so he's going to be another couple of years before he even comes over to North America, and he may or may not need some North American adjustment in the A. And then, like you said, with Guentzel, the opportunity. Pittsburgh doesn't have a whole lot of prospect depth to compete with, so Guentzel's a really good choice. You had a couple other players, though, that you thought should have been higher. Who were they?
I'm going with guys that are going to help you now and in the near future. Oliver Bjorkstrand's getting Columbus minutes right now. 47% in, so that's good enough for him. It could be a little higher. He was 53 in the future watch, so just missed the top 50. But Dauber's got him 19th on his list, so I would put him into the 40s ahead of the Rasmus Asplund, who I thought was way too high, and maybe a guy like Alex Tuch. I think they don't quite have it solved with these guys playing top minutes, top line minutes with top wingers, so they're going to be great prospects to pick up. Bjorkstrand's going to get those top 6 minutes now and next year and the year after, and he'll probably play with Brandon Saad. And I've watched Bjorkstrand for a number of years now, probably 2 or 3 years, and I really enjoy his game, so I think he should be higher up. And my final guy, Adrian Kempe in the LA Kings organization, 24% owned on Fantrax, so that's kind of low. 47th in Future Watch, so he still made the top 50, but I would move him back up to like that Max Jones. Can you tell I want Max Jones moved down? Everybody that I want out of the top 50, I want him above Max Jones, and Max Jones should just be out of there. Kasperi Kapanen, who we mentioned before, he should be right in that Kempe area. Jordan Greenway, another guy that I think Kempe could be outplay. Dauber Prospects has him, or Dauber Rankings has him 58th overall, so he's not extremely high, but I think Kempe, being a left winger, could find a spot on the LA Kings roster probably next year. So my three guys, Gunsel, Bjorkstrand, Kempe, are all going to help you now or next year, which that's how I build teams. I like to build my fantasy teams to win immediately. I'm not a big rebuild guy. Peter's mentioned before he's in another, other than the DPFHL, that he's been on a rebuild for 2 or 3 years. That seems extremely long on my end. That'd be a lot of patience that I would need. I'm a guy that likes to flip a team pretty quick, and I have one team that I was 16th and I moved up to third immediately. I sold out assets, and it might bite me in the end, but I like to win immediately. I don't like that long-term wait. And I think that's why Peter and I work so well, is he's a long-term wait guy. He likes to wait. He can win now in some leagues, but he knows when to rest and not go for it when he knows he's not going to go for it. Like, he knows he's not going to get it. So there's, like we said last episode, there's many different ways to build a team, and I'm a guy that just goes balls out and wants to win immediately.
Nice. I actually, off the top of my head, a couple more players who you might want to look at would be Abramov with Columbus, Tyler Bertuzzi with Detroit, and of course, I think we've talked about him on just about every episode, but Alex DeBrincat, he was just outside the top 50 as well. I think, said it last week, I think he's the real deal. Should be in the top 50.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk NCAA. We did not do it justice last episode 12. We only went top 10, only gave you a little bit of information. So we brought on Kevin LeBlanc to talk more. That's after the break. All right, segment three. We're joined by our very own Kevin LeBlanc, associate editor at DauberProspects.com, and also writes a monthly article on the NCAA. You can follow Kevin at KLeBlancHockey. We're going to put it in our show notes so you can get the correct spelling. Kevin, are you excited about the college hockey wrapping up soon?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good time of year in college hockey, getting into the college playoffs and the Frozen Four. Conference play is coming down to an end with the conference tournaments starting this weekend. So it should be fun to watch from here on out.
Nice. So we gave a top 10 last episode, but Peter and I felt like we didn't give it enough information to you guys. So we brought on Kevin to kind of break down a couple more players. So we're going to start right at the top of our list, Zach Aston-Reese. Kevin, can you explain a little bit more about this guy's game?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a forward for Northeastern, played for Lincoln in the USHL. He's one of those guys that has kind of grown as his college career has progressed. He started out more as like a grinder, third line type guy, and has progressed into the nation leader in points. For you multi-cat guys, he also has 70 penalty minutes on the season, so that's something that you may be looking into if you're looking for a project down the road. More than likely, he's a guy that's going to, at the NHL level, end up on a middle six group, provide some secondary scoring, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
Two other guys that we had on our list, Kev, playing for the Union Dutchman. That's Mike Vecchione and Spencer Fu. These guys are right up at the top of the scoring behind. I think they're behind Aston Reese. They were the last time I looked. Do these both guys project as NHL players as well? Or are they both going to get contract offers?
Yeah, they're Vecchione's an interesting case. He's actually already 24, so he's a little bit older of a player. He's actually the career leader for Union, where they both play, in points with 171 in his career. He's always been a point producer since his freshman year, but this year, like you said, he's up there in the top of the top of college hockey as far as points go. 26 goal guy, 32 assist guy. He's really good on the rush and in odd man situations. Like you said, he plays with Spencer Fu, and they do a good job of kind of working together for Union, and they do a really good job down low. Union works a lot out from the defensive side out, so they're both going to be two-way players that'll should be able to find a roster spot. It just may be a little bit longer for Fu. He's actually an Edmonton native and more of the distributor of the group. He's tied for fifth in the nation in assists, and he's had a huge jump in points this season playing with Vecchione. So as far as college free agents go, I would say that Vecchione may be a little bit more of a sure bet, but they both definitely have the offensive ability to make some sort of impact down the road.
Awesome. Kelleher in New Hampshire is having a career year. 62 points, best out of the 4 years at University of New Hampshire. Can you explain his game a little more?
Yeah, Kelleher's another interesting one because he's actually quite small. He's only 5'6", so he's going to be more of your boom or bust offensive prospect going to the NHL level. Plays for New Hampshire, like you said. 62 points on the year, tied for the lead with Austin Reese, and he leads the NCAAs with 39 assists. He's a really good player with the puck, but he's good at creating offense down low, below the circles, and in tight spaces as well. And then with those guys, Kelleher and Aston Reese have some pretty tough matchups in their conference tournaments. New Hampshire plays at UMass Lowell, and then Aston Reese plays Boston University this weekend. So their seasons could be cut a little bit shorter if they don't get too far in the playoffs in their own conferences, and then don't make the Frozen Four tournament. You could look to see them on NHL rosters within the next couple weeks if they garner that interest, which I think that they definitely will.
Okay, so those are the top guys. Paul and I were pretty confident in identifying these four guys in our top 10 list. We were kind of throwing darts, to be honest with you, with the rest, reading some other scouting reports and looking at some stat lines. Who are some other college free agents, in your opinion, that you think are likely candidates to fetch an NHL contract when the season ends?
Yeah, an interesting one is Brickley from Minnesota. He's a defenseman, 21. He's actually a sophomore at the age of 21, 6'3", bigger body guy. He's actually a Utah-born player. Not too many of those in the NHL these days, but he's one that plays for Minnesota State and has garnered some interest as far as getting a NHL contract after the season's over. He's a 30-point player on the season in 28 games. He had a little bit of an injury issue earlier in the year. So that puts him third amongst defensemen in the NCAAs in points per game. And he has half of his points per game on the power play. So with you guys that are fantasy guys, if you have power play stats, he's one to think long-term about. Obviously going to take a little bit of time to be relevant, but he's one that could turn into a guy that could produce some points. Another D, Gavin Bayreuther from St. Lawrence, and then a few forwards on the list that I had just highlighted are Joe Gambardella from UMass Lowell, Matthew Goudreau, who is Johnny Goudreau's younger brother, plays for BC, and then Alex Iafallo from Minnesota Duluth, who have been up at the top of the standings in college hockey pretty much all season.
So that's like 10 guys that we've now mentioned for everybody out there that can put on their watch list. Kevin, I don't know if you know, I just took over the Vegas prospects on DauberProspects.com. First guy I got signed, Reed Duke. Am I going to get any more work? Is the free agent market college-wise going to heat up for Vegas, or are they going to kind of keep quiet? Like, what do you think their plan is?
I've got to think that you would not only see Vegas reach out to some college free agents to look to fill their minors group, but I mean, if you think about it, it's obviously going to be a destination for college free agents to look to sign as well, because you're not battling as many players. Obviously, Vegas doesn't have an established system before this upcoming NHL draft. So a lot of depth guys could be ones that that Vegas looks at. As far as that goes, I would say that that they would be a destination for both prospects and for the Vegas brass to kind of look at the college players and not only fill that out with CHL players as well, but the college guys.
Okay, Kev, there's some amazing prospects in college, like some top end guys. And I think a lot of them are drafted in on fantasy teams, and the GMs right. who own them are really curious about how much longer they're going to have to sit on some of these guys. So who are some of the top end prospects who you think are likely candidates to come out of college this year and turn pro for the upcoming season, or maybe even play a little bit of pro at the end of this season if their playoffs end soon?
I would say that the first that list has to start with Clayton Keller, drafted 7th overall by Arizona last year, playing for Boston University now. 38 points in the season in just 26 games. Missed a lot of that time with injury, and then everybody saw him playing in the World Juniors as well. He's at 1.46 points per game this season. I would assume that after the season, this Arizona would look to get him on contract. He's not a guy that's really going to gain a lot by being in college hockey much past his freshman season. And he's one of the best prospects in all of hockey. So I would assume that as young as Arizona is, they're going to look to try and get him in an NHL system, whether that be in the NHL right away at the end of the year or looking towards next year.
Yeah, another guy on that United States World Junior team that really showed leadership was Charlie McAvoy. Are the Bruins going to get his services anytime soon?
McAvoy's an interesting one. Obviously plays with Keller at Boston University, 14th overall, the Bruins, like you said, last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe even make his NHL debut by the end of the season this year. Obviously with Boston, they're on a little bit of a roll right now, so you may not want to upset the cart there, but I don't see McAvoy staying in college past this season. He's a guy that's more of an all-around player than really a point producer, so with fantasy owners, you're going to see a lot of from him as far as block shots and shots on goal, things like that. That'll be peripheral stats for your fantasy teams there. He's got a great all-around game. So I would assume that he's definitely going to be up next year for them. With that young D, he can beat out guys like Colin Miller or Kevin Miller, depending on if they're healthy, at the bottom part of that D, just to kind of get his feet wet in the NHL. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him in a Bruins uniform as early as the end of this year.
I absolutely love that kid. I think he's going to be the next Bruins great defenseman.
Yeah, I think that at the end of his career, we may look back on the players drafted, the D-men drafted in the 2016 draft, and wonder how he went 14th.
For sure. Okay, another prospect that I'm really curious about, I think he could be a lock to move on to the pro ranks, is Brock Besser with Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver has just been stuffing their prospect pool at the trade deadline recently here. And I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on big Brock Besser. Am I saying his right name right? Is it Besser or Boser?
Yeah, you've got it. It's Besser. Okay. So obviously with Vancouver at the deadline, like you said, they've been finally realizing that they need to rebuild a little bit. So I know a lot of Vancouver fans have been complaining about that along the way, that they haven't really been, they've been trading out their picks and their prospects rather than trying to rebuild from within. So, they have a really good one in Besser. He's probably their best prospect. Is their best prospect at this point. He hasn't had as great of a year this year, losing Schmaltz and, Kajula last year, who he played with almost the whole season when they won the national championship. He had 60 points in 42 games last season. He's still above a point per game this year, but he's missed a good amount of time with injuries. And overall, North Dakota has been down for the season. So it's been kind of a struggle for them, even though they do have Besser and Tyson Jost as well. So he's got 28 points in 27 games this year. I wouldn't see that he would be returning to NCAA hockey next year. He's pretty much outgrown that group. He could have left after last year, to be honest, but with the way that that Kyle Connor's played, maybe it looks like a pretty good thing that he was able to come back to North Dakota for another season and just kind of develop there and keep on that college path.
You mentioned Tyson Jost, and I selfishly just want to ask you, what do you think about him in this same category? Because, well, I own him in a pool, and I kind of want to know.
Yeah, he's going to be an interesting one, considering he's been really good this year in the time that he has played. I love him as a prospect. He's one of my favorite prospects. I tried to get him in every draft that I was in last season in our drafts over the summer. I'm not really sure on that one. I would say that there's probably maybe a 50-50 chance. Obviously, being in Colorado and they're not really going anywhere anytime soon, they may want to leave him at North Dakota to develop a little bit more. He can come in and not be a freshman next year and be more of a leader. Obviously, missing time with the World Juniors for Canada is going to happen. So it's one of those things where I would say that that Jost is probably 50-50. I still think he's a super elite prospect, so you got a good one in your system there. But he's one to keep an eye on as far as whether he stays or whether he goes.
All right, a guy that played in the Beanpot for Harvard University, Adam Fox. What do you think is his likelihood coming out?
Yeah, so Fox is another one similar to Jost. Both are freshmen. Third rounder from Calgary last year. He's been nothing short of great this season. He leads NCAA defensemen in points per game. Like you mentioned, they won the Beanpot for the first time since 1993, which is huge in that area of the country in Boston there. So Fox's big thing is that he's a little bit undersized. He's 5'10". He can definitely improve his strength and his skating.
Okay, Kip, last summer the big college prospect storyline was the Jimmy Vesey sweepstakes. He's not the first one to do it. There's been a couple other players who have played out their 4 years of college as a drafted prospect and then been unsigned and taken advantage of a collective bargaining loophole and become free agents and left the team that drafted them. Do you see any players coming up this summer that might go the same route that are fantasy relevant?
As far as that goes, I would say there's nobody at the level of a VC or a Schultz who did that. A couple to keep an eye on just in case would be Will Butcher from Denver. He's a Colorado prospect taken in the fifth round in 2013. He's Hobie Baker guy, going to be on all those lists. He's a good offensive player with 34 points this season, which is second amongst all NCAA defensemen. Being that he's in Denver and was drafted by the Avalanche, I would assume that Colorado is going to do everything they can to keep him and have him come to them after his college season's done. And plus, I mean, with Colorado, they're definitely in need of defensemen, so it could be a good opportunity for Butcher as well, just to kind of to not have to jump over too many people to get into the lineup, since they don't have a great defensive core there in Colorado. Alex Kerfoot is another one that has that option. He's a New Jersey draft pick, fifth rounder, 2012. He's plays for Harvard now. More of a playmaker, pass first guy, but he's developing a shot. He scored a career high in goals this season, 14 in 29 games. So he's one to keep an eye on. And then a big senior center out of Yale, John Hayden, was a 2013 draft pick, a third rounder for Colorado. Or sorry, not Colorado, Chicago. Sorry, I had Colorado on the mind there. And being as that organization is as elite as it comes, I don't necessarily see him leaving that organization, but he definitely has the option to do so and would garner a good amount of interest there.
That's awesome stuff. Kevin, thanks so much for your time and coming on to talk a little college hockey. We know that you're associate editor with Dauber Prospects, and every Wednesday is your day to post your prospect ramblings, so our readers can get a little bit of your work every Wednesday on Dauber Prospects. And you also do the NCAA editorial content for Dauber Prospects once a month. That also comes out on a Wednesday, the second of the month. And you also, not done yet, contribute to Dauber Hockey. You do the Journey article there, don't you?
Yeah, every Friday I write the Journey for Dauber Hockey. DauberHockey.com, obviously. You guys know that. It's an article that I took over a couple years ago where you just kind of highlight some of the prospects that are going to be coming up and just some different things as far as it's a prospect-based article, which is one of the only ones that's on Dauber Hockey. So if you're a prospect interested and a Dauber Hockey fan, definitely check that out. You can also find my stuff for Dauber Prospects. I do the Carolina Hurricanes scouting, and then I write for Canes Country as well. So check it out.
And where can we find you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is at KLeBlancHockey. So K in my last name and hockey.
Follow him. He's a good, he's a great read and an excellent follow. Thanks so much for your time, Kev. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Talk to you later.
Cheers.
And thanks again to Kevin LeBlanc for joining us this week to give us a more in-depth look at the NCAA free agents and a few guys who could turn pro at the end of their college seasons. Be sure to check out all his work across the Dauber Network, the journey on Dauber Hockey, his Hurricanes prospect scouting and top 10, his monthly column on NCAA hockey every second Wednesday of the month, and his Wednesday prospect ramblings. Jeez, Kevin keeps himself busy. Follow him at KLeBlanc Hockey, KLEBLANC Hockey. Also, want to give a quick shout-out to Cam Robinson, who does our monthly mailbag at DauberProspects.com. You can ask your questions at CrazyJoeDavola3, and he will make sure to answer them in his monthly column. Both of those Twitter handles will be on our show notes, so find them on DauberProspects.com. And we can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much of a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. We post other podcasts that may be helpful, some ideas for better scouting, some other scouts we enjoy following, basically anything to do with scouting and prospects. You can also follow our personal Twitters at @Swambag and @PHarling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.